I promise you, I put this sermon together earlier in the week and I finished it up yesterday before anything happened. But it fits today exactly. I entitled it, Satan is in control, but God is in charge. And I think it's going to be very interesting to watch how things unfold. Let me say this. One of the things that is predominantly over and over and over in your Bible, when Jesus spoke about the end times, and then the Apostle Paul, John, and even the Old Testament prophets, the emphasis was on the church being deceived. In Matthew 24, a lot of people like to run to Matthew 24 because there is so much in that Olivet Discord about the end times. What a lot of people miss in the church is that is a Jewish rabbi talking to an inner circle of his Jewish followers. And everything that he says in Matthew 24, in Luke 21, and Mark 13 is in concern with Jesus' second coming. Now, we believe there is a mystery, Paul called it, called the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is not found in Matthew 24. The rapture of the church, we believe, happens before the things that are mentioned in those three passages. Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13. The rapture comes before that time of Jacob's trouble. So the ideal is that God has a dispensation called the dispensation of grace. Inside that dispensation is a period of time from the resurrection of Jesus Christ until the rapture of the church or the bride. The bride of Christ in that 2,000 plus year period is made up of every race of people, Jew and Gentile. Remember, there were no Gentiles born again for approximately 15 years. The early church was Jewish. And in Acts chapter 10, when God introduced this ideal that Gentile people would receive the same salvation through the Holy Spirit, baptizing them into the body of Christ, it was a new thing. It was not thought of. And actually, in Acts 10:13, God tells Peter, kill it and grill it. He brought down this sheet with all these unclean animals on it, and he tells Peter to cook them and eat them. And Peter says, oh no, Lord, I've never ate unclean animals. And God says, Peter, what I call clean, don't you call unclean. Now get up, go downstairs. You're going to meet a gentleman. He's going to take you to the house of some Gentiles. You're going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, and they're going to be born again just like you were. They couldn't wrap their brains around it. So this period of time is called the church age. At the rapture of the church starts another period of time. The Bible is very definite. It's a 7-year period of time. The first half seems to be good. They have a peace treaty. They have stopped some war. And it seems to be great time. The last half is a terrible time the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. The first half of it is just a setup. The first half of it is just a diversion from the second half. The first half of it is not the blessings of God. The first half of it is a setup by evil men. It winds up in the first half with the exposure of the Antichrist. It's all Jerusalem-centered. So last night I was concerned about what was happening. Remember, you've got to be vigilant because the world wants to deceive you. That's the whole thing. In Matthew 24, Jesus talked about earthquakes and different things in diverse areas and the sea and the sun and the moon. He talked about those things one time. But he warned four times in that little section of Scripture, don't be deceived. So last night, I was deceived. First they came out and they said, Iran sent in 100 drones. Well, they've made these drones out to be really something to fear. Then they came out and they said, no, it's just 50 drones. And then they said, no, it's 30 drones. And then they said, no, it's 300 drones. And I thought, make up your mind. And these drones take several hours to get there. Well, today it seems the truth is that Iran sent well over 100 drones. They didn't do anything. They're the biggest nothing burger that ever was invented. They're slow. And when they do land and blow up, it's kind of like an M80. Out of over 100 of them supposedly sent from Iran, there is a video of one who landed on the ground and kind of had the nose knocked off. And now remember, this whole thing I'm trying to tell you is don't be deceived. What they're saying today is that counting the drones and the missiles and the rockets, Iran sent a little over 300 different things at Israel. Israel was also receiving missiles from Lebanon to the north and Yemen from the south. So at one period of time, supposedly, they were being attacked on three sides. It looked like a pretty dire thing. Then at about 3 o'clock this morning, they started showing footage of Jerusalem burning to the ground. Large sections of Jerusalem on fire. And I watched it for about an hour and a half longer, and I thought, well, might as well go to sleep. I got a job to do in a few hours, and there ain't anything I can do about it. It looks like it's on. I've taught that ever since I got here. You're going to wake up one day, and this world's going to be a different world. So I said a little prayer, and I went to sleep. I woke up this morning, and I found out that most of the major newscasts took the footage from the wildfire in Texas a couple of months ago and were telling that that was the city of Jerusalem. Now, let me tell you something. This is what I believe. I believe that's why they want to outlaw things like TikTok, because those people are you people, and you're too smart for them. These TikTok people started remembering because they had done different TikTok episodes on the fires in Texas. And this one guy caught it first. He's like, that looks exactly like the footage that I posted on the fire in Texas. So he went and he got it and he put it up side by side. And of course, when daylight hit in Jerusalem, there's virtually no damage. Now, I'm telling you, you can't believe one thing that they say. Why is that? Because the whole thing is demonically driven to deceive you. That's the plan of the devil. The Bible says over and over, when the devil stands before God at the great white throne judgment, the people round about will say this. Watch it. They'll say, that's the man that deceived the whole world? They say this, that's the man that deceived the nations? Do you know what the accolade against the devil is in the Bible several times? That he deceives all the nations. Now, it's a form of stupidity or mental illness When you think you can't be deceived, most people you meet will not say there is no way they could be deceived. They're too smart. They're too intelligent. They're too informed. But they're deceived already. The quickest thing, if you don't get anything else out of it today, and I haven't even started yet, if you get this, this will be a lifelong lesson. The quickest way for you not to ever be deceived is that you understand right now today that you're deceivable. If you can get that, hey, I've got to watch it because I have a tendency to believe what I see and I want to believe what I hear. And what I'm going to try to tell you is the only thing that you can truly believe is the Word of God. Because if the devil can in any way, shape, or form fill your mind and your heart with fear, you cannot have faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. But you cannot have faith and fear in the same heart. You cannot have faith and fear in the same mind. So if the devil can just in any way scare you, put fear in you, you cannot have faith. Now I want you just to sit here for just a second before I start. Haven't you seen the propaganda? And I'm not ready to take up an offering for Iran, but what has Iran ever done to you? Have you ever met a person from Iran? I've met a couple and they were beautiful people. See, you can't. See, here was my problem. I did not. The Apostle Paul said he sat at the feet of the greatest Jewish rabbi teacher of his day. His name was Gamaliel. And he gives that as an accolade. He was taught and he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I didn't. I was taught and I sat at the feet of the Long Ranger and Tonto. Didn't you? I sat at the feet of Superman, the guys on Star Trek. Bonanza. Now, I'm not going to ask you, but every man in this room identified with one of the Cartwrights. But there's not a woman in this room identified with any woman on the Cartwright show. Do you know why? Because never in the history of Bonanza did a woman ever enter the story and make it to the end of the show without getting killed. I identified with Hoss because I was husky. But I wanted to be Joe so bad I couldn't see straight. And I kind of felt like Adam was a fairy. And the dad was the coolest thing ever. But I was taught there's always a good guy and a bad guy, wasn't you? And you can't have a good guy with a white hat unless you got a guy with a black hat. And I'm telling you, the same thing is playing out before you right now. And what can we do? We can't do a whole lot about it, but we can make sure we're not deceived. So sometimes when you watch these major news outlets that are owned by the same people, haven't you seen the videos where they say the exact same thing all over the world? Maybe you don't believe it. Maybe you don't readily believe it. And it's going to get harder and harder and harder. So for you people that don't have a foundation of God's Word, it's going to be impossible for you not to be deceived. For you that have a foundation of God's Word, you're a little bit better off. But I believe before Jesus comes, you're going to have to force yourself to believe what those words say on that paper, because everything else around you is going to be contrary to what the paper says. And you're going to be bombarded with this ideal that you're some kind of ignorant person, that you're some kind of bigoted person, unless you believe what they want you to believe. So today, it doesn't matter to me if you believe it or not, but Satan is in control, but God is in charge. There's a difference. So let's go to Ecclesiastes 1, 9 through 11. I want to set a foundation. Ecclesiastes is a good place. It says, the things that have been, it is that which shall be. There's nothing new under the sun. Listen, this conflict in the Middle East, they've been fighting for 6,000 years. Nothing new. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Have you ever heard of the Baghdad Battery? Did you know the Iraqi people had electricity thousands of years ago? How about this? Did you know that a few years ago they was trying to build a bridge over the Mississippi River and the part in Missouri, they were digging down to put these pillars? How many of you know, when you want to build a bridge across a big body of water, you dig down into bedrock to put the pillars? Because, you don't know, maybe a boat will hit the pillar. You don't want the whole bridge to come down. I went all over the place taking these pictures of these concrete pillars to keep cars from going into businesses like Walmart, like the Hodges store in Barnesdale, like the gas pumps at virtually every gas place. Why do we have the intelligence to put pillars around other pillars, or pillars around important things, but not around the bridge's pillar? Anyway, they're drilling in the ground, and guess what? In Missouri, you can Google it. I'd be stupid to stand up here and tell you a lie, right? Well, they hit a pocket. Hey, we got a driller with us right here. Can you, Willie, stand and testify? As a driller, can you tell when you hit an open pocket? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I worked on a drilling rig, and the technology's off the chart that Willie does, but you have a resistance against your bit. Matter of fact, a good driller or a good hand can hear it. And then the thing goes to freewheeling. Well, I'll just cut to the chase. What they found was a whole nother city with a dome on it. A whole city. Streets, businesses, sewer, lighting. You say, where at? Bangladesh, where we can't verify it. Missouri. You can drive and go where it's at. So, look what it says. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. What does that mean? That means, the great philosopher said, the only thing that men learn from history is that men never learn anything from history. Satan's in control of this earth, but God is in charge. Satan may be in control of this earth, but that doesn't mean you have to let him be in control of you. Satan may be deceiving the nations, but that doesn't mean you have to allow him to deceive you. Put on the whole armor of God and then stand there. We talked about this in the 5 o'clock class. God doesn't tell you to flee. There is no armor on your backside in the armor of God. He says, just stand. Put on the armor of God. And the great theologian, Jackie McBride, pointed out some of the armor God gives you and places on you. And other pieces of the armor you got to pick up. So you don't put on the armor and flee, you stand. You don't put on the armor of God and march, you stand. You don't put on the armor of God and cow down, that's for sure. You stand. You don't put on the armor of God and bow your knee. No, all you got to do is stand. Let me tell you this, God will not ever fight your battles if you're not willing to stand. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. This is all foundation. Here we go. But if our gospel be hid, it is to them that are lost. In whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Well, the Apostle Paul is telling this church in Corinth that the devil is the little g god or ruler of this world. He's not capital G, but he's in control. But he's not in charge. He deceives them and blinds them. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So there's biblical precedent. He is the little g god of this world. I want to take you real quick to a book that you may not have ever heard of, but you probably never read. This prophet's name is Habakkuk. This prophecy was for a specific time in Israel and in Jerusalem centered. But it is for us today as well. Habakkuk was a prophet to Israel at a time when Israel was apostate. Does everybody know what apostate means? It means they had turned their back on God. It means they is calling evil good and good evil. So this was a time when Israel was apostate, just like America today. They were idolaters. If there's one thing that God hates, it's idolatry. Just like America today. Now, idolatry is worshiping false gods or worshiping God in a false way. Either one of those is idolatry. America is the foremost nation of idolatry. That don't mean you have to be. Habakkuk was talking to a time where Israel was worshiping the false gods of Babylon. Just like America today. Every form of sexual perversion, just like in America today. They were sacrificing babies in Israel at the time of Habakkuk, just like America today. The government leaders were corrupt and worshiped the devil, just like America today. There was injustice everywhere. The courts were corrupt, just like America today. And on and on and on. So Habakkuk asked God, why do you allow this to happen? Why don't you do something? He asked, why do you allow the injustice, the wrong suffering, the destruction, the violence, the strife, the contention? Look at Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And it's split up. It's Habakkuk's question and then God's answer. Watch his question. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, this is his question. How long shall I cry? You know, don't you feel that way sometimes? How long do I still keep trying to preach the gospel, tell people about Jesus? After a while, you get weary in well-doing. And just like Habakkuk, maybe you've asked that question. How many times do you want me to tell my family? They don't care. They don't listen. They don't want to hear it. They've ostracized me. They make fun of me. How long? How long do you want me to continue to tell my coworkers? How long? How long do you want me to stand up on Facebook for what's right and denounce what's wrong? The people don't care. How long? I don't know about you. I've asked it. When 9 or 10 people say they're going to come kill you, it'll make you think, how long? When they say things about you that are the most horrendous things that you can imagine, you want to ask God, how long do you want me to keep doing this? So that's what Habakkuk cries. How long shall I cry and thou will not hear? Right there is his first assumption. He thought God didn't hear him because God didn't jump when he called. God heard every word Habakkuk ever said. Don't jump to those conclusions because God hasn't come through for you, or God hasn't made your enemies to fall yet, or validated you. He's heard your cries. He knows even the hairs on your head. But just because he hasn't spoken to you or coddled you doesn't mean he didn't hear you. Now remember, the devil's in control, but God's in charge. Watch. How long? And you, thou will not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence. He said, there's people who are doing violence, and thou will not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievances, or spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention? Why do you keep showing me this if you're not going to do anything about it? Therefore, the law is slacked. But they're not keeping God's law. And judgment doth never go forth. They're not judging anything. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. The wicked have taken over. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Now, you know me, I've try to call it like it is when I can. And I've called out Donald Trump's problems, but my gosh, he's a lot better than what we have now, right? At least, you know the biggest accusation against Donald Trump? Well, he was for America first. I think that's hilarious. Don't you want a president that's for your own nation first? They act like that's some kind of terrible thing. But let me tell you what happened to Donald Trump. Donald Trump was found guilty and fined $350 million. Watch it. Before the trial started. Now, I don't know if you caught that, but the judge, before the trial started, before the first day of the trial, before any testimony, before the jury was picked, before anything, fined him and started trying to take his properties. Now, whether the guy's a good guy, a bad guy, whatever, he shouldn't have that happen to him. That's unjust. That's a crooked, corrupt court. And I don't think you'll find it much better in this area. I used to have a Bible study in Pawhuska, and one of the people that came to it pretty regular was a Osage County judge. I will not say his name. He told me one day, he's an Osage County sitting judge. He said, in Osage County, for $500, you can have anybody killed. And I was like, can you? He said, oh, yeah. And then he said, and for $5,000, you can get off for killing them. Well, there ain't nothing new. It's just as corrupt today as it was at the time of Habakkuk. The deception is still going. Many people have been locked up because they were at the Capitol on a rally on January the 6th. They've been locked up for months and months and months and years now. Some didn't even go into the Capitol. They were not given a speedy trial. They're still incarcerated. What are we going to do about it? We're not going to do nothing. What can we do about it? Nothing. I'm so tickled at the ignorance of the human race. The same people that stand there and say, they cheated. They cheated. In 2020, they cheated Donald Trump. Are the same people that say, he's going to win this time. I can't believe the ignorance. If they cheated in 2020, which I think they did, but I think they've been cheating for a long time. What makes you think they're not going to cheat now? What's going to stop them? I'm telling you, take your fear-mongering and turn it into faith. Have faith in God. And stop letting these designed ministries and newscasters and government officials scare you. Why do you think they've kept those people locked up and not gave them a trial? Some that didn't even enter the Capitol. They're locked up to scare you from getting out of line. That's why they're there. Over 70 million babies murdered in the United States since Roe versus Wade with tax dollars, taken from people who largely do not support abortion. Do you know poll after poll has been done, and in America, the most dangerous, unsafe place for a baby is in a mother's womb. Well, there's nothing new. Habakkuk's like, don't you see that the Israeli people are offering their babies to Moloch, the Babylonian god? And we look at that and we say, oh God, that's horrendous. Well, I don't imagine they offered 70 million of them. If you don't understand that an abortion is a blood ritual, you've got your head in the sand. And let me remind you, when your head's in the sand, there's another part of your anatomy that's exposed. My point today is, you be vigilant. Don't let fear enter into your mind or your heart. You have faith. Allow the light of faith to shine on the darkness of fear. We have nothing to fear. I've been going to lunch with my friend Bill Marsh. Most people won't publicly claim him as their friend, but I do. I was proud of Bill Marsh. When I had my little trouble, he threatened to whoop people over me. I was like, that's my friend. He's been diagnosed with some pretty aggressive cancer, and he's taken some alternative stuff, and he told me one day we was going to get a burger. He said, you know, Sherman, he said, it don't matter. He said, I'm going to win either way. He said, if this alternative stuff works and I get to live a few more years, then I win. But if it don't, dude, I'm going to win either way. And I thought, you know, that's right. So many people fear death. I think about 2 seconds standing in the presence of God, looking into the face of Jesus Christ, and you'll feel like a blubbering idiot forever fearing death. The United States starts wars all over the world. Why? That's our cry, just like with Habakkuk. We give trillions of dollars all over the world to people that hate us. Why? Do you know if we had all the money that we give away to other nations, every one of us would live in a mansion with gold streets. There would be no poverty in this nation. There would be no homeless problem. You say, well, can a country run like that? Remember Libya before Hillary Clinton went and killed Gaddafi? Libya had free electricity. How would you like that? Libya gave $50,000 to every new married couple to start off their life. How would you like that? And on and on and on. We care about Ukraine's border and pay for it, but we don't care about our own border. You cry out to God like, why? Well, because it's planned that way. Remember, Satan's in control, but God's in charge. Ask yourself this question. Why should God protect the USA? Why? Ask yourself this question. Why should God bless the USA? Why? So now let's take just a minute and look at God's answer to Habakkuk and to us. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 5. Watch what God says. God was listening all along, Habakkuk. He said, behold you among the heathen. I got you living right amongst the heathen. Well, who needs the light? People in darkness. We talked about it in my Sunday school class. You know, the demonic man of Gadarene, he's living in Gadarene. That was named after the tribe of Gad, one of those tribes that didn't want to go over in the promised land, remember? Well, they had apostatized. They were selling pigs, eating pigs. They wasn't keeping the Jewish law. Remember those people on the other side of the Jordan? They had their own priesthood and their own tabernacle. Well, by the time Jesus gets there, they didn't even worship God. The man is delivered of the demon. He puts his clothes back on. He takes a shower. He cuts his hair. He cleans up. And he wants to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, it'd be better if you just stayed there. Because I told my men, if he crosses the Galilee, he's just a story about the power of God. But if he stays in Gadara, he's an example of the power of God. So I think it's very cunning that in Mark chapter 5 is the story of the demoniac in Gadarene, and Mark chapter 8, in Gadara, Jesus feeds 4,000 men, not counting the women and children. Who do you think was promoting Jesus for everybody to come out to hear him preach? Well, who needs a light? Somebody in the darkness. Now, what we want to do as Christians a lot of times is just stay around other lights. And that's great sometimes. Sometimes you need charged up. But the light is to be taken to the darkness. He said, behold you among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. So God's saying, you don't think I heard you? I'm fixing to do a work in Israel that you would not believe if somebody told you. Well, let's see what that is. What is God going to do? For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans? That's them dirty, rotten Chaldeans with the black hats on. God's raised them up? Yeah. What for? Well, let's watch. I raised up them dirty, rotten, black-hatted Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Do you understand what he just said? He said, I'm going to raise up these terrible, terrible people to come and annihilate my own nation. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. They don't ask God about judgment. They don't get their dignity from being righteous. It proceeds of themselves. And God says, I'm going to use them. I'm going to raise them up. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasted to eat. Well, he's talking about destroying his own nation. They shall come all for violence. Their face shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings of Israel, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Little g. Well, Habakkuk can't figure this out. Habakkuk's crying out to God to fix the injustice, to take away the violence, to take away the corrupt politicians. And God said, well, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it, but you ain't going to believe it. Well, how are you going to do it, God? I'm going to bring another nation into my nation. If they worship violence, they're going to get some violence. If they like to start wars, they're going to get some wars. In a very short time after this prophecy, Babylon came and destroyed Israel, destroyed Jerusalem, and carried the Israeli people back to Babylon, but just a remnant. The rest of the people were slaughtered. But God keeps a remnant. That remnant was just a handful of people. We only know of about four or five. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are four of them. This prophecy came true. God raised up a nation and destroyed them. But look at what he goes on to say in chapter 2. God is still speaking. Chapter 2. Verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. So Habakkuk wrote the prophecy to the people, but they didn't believe it. They could have ran to safety, but they didn't believe him. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Not by fear, but by faith. So God said to Habakkuk, write it down. If they believe it, then they'll run to safety. But they didn't. God is saying, don't be deceived. Don't be distracted by evil. Keep the faith. Keep your face in the book and your mind on him. Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah 26. Now this, I'm giving you the answer, what to do. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, I've dealt with people my whole illustrious career. Boy, I've had a good one. I just have no peace. Jesus said, I give you my peace. You have it. You have the peace of God, but you don't want to take it. When you're troubled and without peace, you get a lot of attention. When you're troubled and without peace, you get an excuse for all the evil, stupid things you do. Look at what the Bible says. God will keep you in perfect peace if you will keep your mind on Him. You can't fill your mind with all this other stuff and expect to have the peace of God. Look what he says. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. What is that? That's Jerusalem. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. Don't be fearful. Don't be getting your information from things that are designed to cause fear in your life. Keep your mind on God. You'll have the peace of God. Stop fearing what the world shows you and tells you. Most of it's a lie. They do it just to fill you with fear, rob you of your faith. 95% of the things people worry about never come to pass. And 99% they can't do anything about anyway. Look at Psalms 37, and I'm done. Just a couple more scriptures. Psalm 37:23. Watch this. This is a great psalm. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, that doesn't say that every step you take is of the Lord. You can stray. You can take steps wherever you want to. Some people cause all kinds of havoc in their life, and they're like, well, I don't know why God led me this. God didn't lead you nowhere, man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you will follow Him, He'll order your steps. That doesn't mean every step you take is ordered of God. But if you would follow God and follow in that order, you'd be so much better off. And His delight in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. If you're following the Lord and your delight is in Him, you might stumble and fall, but He will help you up. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's a promise. That's a promise. But God will take care of you and your kids and your grandkids, but you have to be righteous. You say, well, how am I righteous? If you're born again, Jesus Christ made you righteous. But you can't expect God to take care of you and your kids and your grandkids when you're not His child. Look at Psalms 27, and I'll be done. Psalms 27, one of my favorite psalms. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's like Bill Maher said, man, I want to win either way. You know, he's like any of us. He'd like to stick around and see his grandkids grow up and stuff. But the Apostle Paul said it best. The Apostle Paul said that I would rather be with Jesus. I would go on, but it's far better for you if I stay here. Can you say that in your marriage? That it would be better for your spouse if you stuck around? I'm always reminded of the story of Job. God told the devil, you can take away anything you want to from Job that would destroy him. So he took away all 10 of his kids, his in-laws, and all of his grandkids. But he left his wife. He could have took her, but she was more important to the devil alive than she was dead. The Lord said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Don't be afraid of the Iranians. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Do you know how hard it is nowadays to get people just to come to church? We got free coffee, free donuts, and today, free calendars. And look at all the empty seats. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Look what he goes on to say at the end of this chapter. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Sometimes things get hard. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now I want to leave you with this. So many people think that verse means to just sit and wait until God moves in your life. And that is not what that word means. That word is where we get our word waiter. What that means is you wait as a waiter on the Lord. One day I was in Singapore. I was in the fanciest restaurant in Singapore. There was about 12 of us at this big long table. And each person had their own waiter. And I remembered this verse. Behind each person was a person standing there with a towel, waiting, watching every move you make. If you opened up your Sweet and Low and laid it down, before you got it laid down, they had it picked up and brushed off the table, back in their place. And I thought, you know, that's a waiter. When your glass got half full, they asked you if you wanted it topped off. They were trying to be there for your every desire and need and want. I think if we put our focus on Jesus Christ and what he needs and what he wants, then everything else would just fade away. And not sit there and do nothing and wait on Jesus, but to attentively wait on Jesus. The only reason why the Singaporean people, the head of the plant, took me to this place, my boss told them they had to, but they all wanted to go because it was on my expense account. And they have their iced tea in these little, what we call juice glasses. They're about that big around and about that tall. And we was eating all this spicy stuff, and I can drink 5 gallons while I'm eating, right? And so every time my little waiter asked, "Would you like some more?" I said, "Yes." And so when I got the bill, I can't remember, I think it was $800-something. And I looked under my deal, and there was like 17 glasses of tea. And they were all like, you know, $10 a glass. And so I was like, man, I'm going to get fired when I go home with this thing. And so I asked the owner, I said, "What is this?" And he said, "What is that? Iced tea. They call it lemon iced tea." And I said, "Well," I said, "17 of them?" And he said, "Oh, you said you wanted more. Every time you were asked, you wanted more." I said, "I didn't know I was getting charged for them." I said, in America, you know, you drink all you want. He said, oh, no, not here, not here. This is $9.99 a glass, you know. And I said, well, that's crazy. And I kind of threw a fit. And so he said, I'll take all the drinks off. And then what do you tip 12 different people working on 12 different people? But God spoke to me. Those people didn't know what they were doing in the kitchen, and they didn't care. They didn't know if the food was going to be burnt, or if it's going to come out uncooked, or if it's going to come out wrong. All their focus was on their person. I think if we'd keep our mind focused on Him, with a foundation of His Word, we could decipher a bunch of this deception. And when it all boils down to it, do you know how many people that I've known and you've known too that were scared to death during the Cold War with the Russians? I was in Russia right after it. And the Russian people, they don't have a problem with us. One guy told me, every Russian person you meet, if you would let them, would get in your suitcase and have you take them back to the United States. But we in America, we were bombarded with the fear that the Russians were going to kill us all. Don't fall for it. It's all planned. The devil's in control. He's working his control. But don't forget, God is in charge. Don't waste another minute of your life in fear. Like the psalmist David said, what? Who do we have to fear? If God can't protect us, we need to find another God. So have faith in God, not fear in man. There are some rocky days coming. If you've been in the study in Revelation, we've taught about them. They're on their way and they are coming. Will this kick it off? I don't know. But there will be a war that generates from the Euphrates River where one-third of mankind die. If we're still here and that happens, that's going to touch your life in some way or another. But there's nothing to fear. You can't change it. So spend the rest of your life full of faith, waiting on God, being a light in a dark place. Don't begrudge it that you're amongst the heathens. Shine your light. I told a young man that graduated from Barnesdale, he went to OSU, he said, there's like 1,000 people in this dorm and I'm the only Christian here. I said, well, don't look at it that way. Look at it like you're the first Christian. And he started having a Bible study, and come to find out, there were several people in his dorm that claimed to be Christians. So wherever you go or wherever God sends you, you be a light in this dark world until He deems time to come and take us away. I thank You for today. I hope you come back tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your salvation, for Your Word. Help us not to fear anything or anyone. The Bible says we are in the palm of Your hand, and we're in the Father's hand. How much more protection could we get? The Bible says that You have our names engraved in the palm of Your hand. Help us just to focus on You. And although the world all around us is crumbling and falling apart, maybe from the story of Habakkuk, maybe that's exactly Your plan. I thank You for each and every person here. I pray that they have a great day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, folks. Hope to see you tonight.